The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. Football Friday on a numbers game.
Let's go.
What are you doing? A little victory sign?
Yeah, a little wave.
Hey, man, Football Friday does not get any better than this.
Does not.
We have reached the end of the week talking championship games, only to be followed by 2 weeks of Super Bowl prep.
That is right. And a lot of Super Bowl conversation. I'm already looking forward to my week two Gatorade breakdown.
I am looking forward to that as well. What's the halftime show that I have to break down? Is it Kendrick Lamar?
It's Kendrick Lamar, right?
We're starting to get out of my strike zone now. This is when you start to feel old. This used to be our thing. I'll do my darndest. But today,
yeah, Kendrick Lamar. Yep.
In case you are, we've been on SiriusXM channel 158 now for one solid week. We started last Friday. In case you did not hear that show. What we do here on Fridays during football season is pretty special. Can I say that?
Yeah,
pretty special.
Usually,
Chris Felica from Fox Sports, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, and then a pioneer in the business in terms of predictive modeling, Dr. Bob. But college football's over, so replacing, we still got the Fezzik and Felica part, replacing Dr. Bob, this can't possibly be true, 1982 National League MVP Joe Theismann on the show.
Can't wait.
I'm going to fanboy my way through that segment.
Just to get you a little bit more excited, yeah. We've had Joe on the show, two or three times, something like that?
A couple times. I've proclaimed my love for him before.
But never on video, Gil.
Oh, is it on video? Sweet.
I probably shouldn't be promising that, but I think so. Oh. I think we're going to get there.
Joe Theismann, baby. So we'll talk to Joe about, obviously, Philadelphia, Washington, primarily. Buffalo, Kansas City being the other one. We'll get our bets here momentarily. Paul Carr will join us first hour. He's on fire in both the Premier League and Champions League. We'll get his soccer picks. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. A little NFL championship round. Are we sure?
That's right.
Estamos seguros. Coming up as well. First, let's get the tennis here out of the way before we get into football. We now have the ladies' finals and the gentlemen's final set at the Australian Open. Ladies tonight, the American Madison Keys against Aryna Sabalenka. Sabalenka trying to win yet another Australian Open, her third in a row. Trying to do that, and Sabalenka is a big favorite. I will not have a play in this. She's just around a $3 plus favorite, I believe Sabalenka is.
Yeah, let me check
point.
In because that was moving all day
yesterday.
Which,
by the way, again, is justified based on how I handicap tennis and the raw data of this. That's a justified line, just like Iga being closing minus 667 favorite against Maddie Keys was a justified line based on the numbers. Now, sports is sports. Stuff happens. And as we talked about on the Beating the Book Australian Open podcast, Maddie Keys has this in her. So this is Maddie Keys' second ever Grand Slam final. The first was the 2017 U.S. Open, which she lost to her good friend Sloane Stephens. But there is no play for me in that one. There will be a play for me.
Sabalenka minus 330.
Minus 330.
So we did Keys plus 250. So what? When it opened a little higher.
It opened at $4.
Yeah, Keys took money, and now we're back to Sabalenka taking a little bit of money.
Yeah, makes sense. Tomorrow I will have a play. Obviously, we won't be on air, but I am taking the over 39.5 games in the Jannik Sinner Sasha Zverev final. And this came to pass last night. Sinner beat Ben Shelton in straight sets. The American, Zach Cohen, did get his one tiebreaker in there. It was 7-6, 6-2, 6-2.
Oh, nice.
So he got it in there.
That's a fun bet.
Shelton caved after that, apparently. Again, the time zones are the problem here, so we don't get to see much of these matches. But we did see the first set and the only set of the Sasha Zverev-Novak Djokovic match last night. Novak was hurting. You could tell he was not at full strength. He looked like he was about, as Patrick McEnroe said, about 75% last night. Zverev had so many chances to break him and couldn't. And you're like, really? Are you going to let Novak off the hook here? But in the end, it went to a tiebreaker. And then Novak hits a volley, a very makeable volley into the net for set point. And without even breaking stride, he goes right across the net. He's like, I'm done.
Oh, man.
So if you had Zverev at a shop that only needs one set to grade, BetMGM and DraftKings being the two most prominent in that category, then you were graded a winner. Otherwise, it's a refund. But in that match, Sasha Zverev and Jannik Sinner, I do have the over 39.5 games tomorrow night, because I really do think, unlike Ben Shelton, that Sasha Zverev, this is his third Grand Slam final. He's never won a slam. Sinner has the number one player in the world, but I think for Zverev, he is going to put up a heck of a fight in this one.
I'm kind of rooting for Zverev. I feel like he's the poor guy who's always got to play like basically the entire 4 weeks, but then never even really sniffs a championship.
The entire 2 weeks, you mean?
Yeah. What did I just say? Four weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's a heck of a tournament.
I feel like he gets to the quarters or like semis, like every Grand Slam, you're done.
Andre Rublev is the quarterfinal ceiling guy.
Really?
Zverev gets, I mean, he gets deep. He gets to tons of semis. This is his third Grand Slam final. He wins a lot of tournaments too. And he was great after the match yesterday because some folks had the nerve to boo Novak as he quit.
That, yeah.
Novak Djokovic, who has won 10 of these Australian Opens in his career, who's won one of these with an abdominal strain. He won a slam with an abdominal strain. So Zverev immediately went in on the fans who booed him. He's like, don't do that.
I mean, the Australian Open always the rowdiest, I guess, of the Grand Slams.
I'll say US Open. Okay. US Open still. Yeah.
But man, I feel like it's been quite an eventful tournament down there with between reporters and fans and
Even
our wacky American players saying and doing things. Yeah, wow.
Danielle freaking Collins doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so over tomorrow night, Zverev and Sinner. The National Football League, Sunday, Championship Sunday, NFC, AFC. I feel with all the, the fact that we're obviously, not just us, but I just feel like Jaden Daniels, as phenomenal as he has been, am I right in saying that the Buffalo-Kansas City game feels like it's gotten short shrift a little bit? I feel like it, just anecdotally, which is just not fair at all, because that's the marquee matchup, really, in these Final Four here.
It's a great point, because you're just from feel, I feel like I was more excited last week for Ravens Bills than I am for Chiefs Bills, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I'm with you. Chiefs 2-point favorites. Do you have besides your Buffalo teaser leg?
Yeah.
Did you end up with anything here?
Okay. No, but I'm staked enough with the teasers that I'm going to sprinkle in a couple other things. I will probably play the Bills a little bit on the money line, and then play a little bit of alt. Probably like lay 6.5 or something like that with the Bills. But small. Those are small because I've got pretty big positions with them teased up already. And then I think I'm going to play Josh Allen over his rushing yards, but I have not fired on any of those yet.
When Fezzik is here, or Steve Fezzik in the next hour, for those again unfamiliar with him, back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, the only person ever to do so, we will get into like a talk about, okay, do you take the Chiefs? If you want the Chiefs, do you take them on the money line? Do you lay the points? We'll do all that. With Fezzik as well, from a mathematical standpoint. I promise you, it won't be deep math. He'll just tell us what the correct answer is. We'll also do a little look back memory lane with Super Bowl lines with him as well. A whole bunch of stuff. And then Washington, Philadelphia. I mentioned earlier this week, I took Washington on the money line, like I did against the Lions, again, with Washington, because of Dan Quinn's propensity to go for it on fourth down, knowing that he has Boy Wonder under center, Jaden Daniels. And again, I push back on that narrative that some folks had. Oh, it's the luckiest team of all time. No, it's not. It's fourth and short all the time, and the kid just keeps getting them, and he couldn't look more comfortable. It's not like it's a team that's been going for it on fourth and seven or fourth and eight. It's not that kind of team. So I took them again here on the money line because of that variance that exists with converting fourth downs. I also did add, Kelly, them with the points, +6. No surprise here. And again, I can be accused of being a homer this week. I get it. Keep in mind, it was Brian Grayson, lifelong Philly fan who's listening since the betting dork days. He says, because I've always wondered what it would sound like listening to you when the Washington football team actually mattered this late in the season. It's the first time as an adult they've ever mattered. So I'm on Washington. Money line and Washington plus the points.
Can I ask you a staking question when it comes to this? Because usually, yes. I think a lot with the dogs, it's, you know, whether I'm betting NBA, NFL, if I'm taking points and playing a money line, it's a 75-25 split, something like that, or 80-20, or even higher on the spread. But I know you made the money line bet first. Yeah. So how'd you split that up?
It's a great question, and I am probably not representative of how most do it. And I'm not even going to sit here and tell you that what I do is the right thing for most. But when I do this, and it's the same for tennis, right? If I'm doing, the other night we had a money line and plus games, yeah, or whatever. For me, it is the same unit size. So in other words, okay. I will split them if the money line doesn't get there and the total in the tennis match does. Here, my money line bet is the same as my ATS bet.
I think it's always an interesting conversation because everybody does it differently. Yeah, everybody does it differently. So
there's also lots of questions with that too when it comes to, and it's a very valid question. Someone asked me on Twitter, forgive me for not remembering who, yesterday, which I've been asked many times before, is when you're betting a favorite, you know, when you bet a dog, it's a unit to win more than that unit. But when you're betting a favorite, is it to win the unit, laying more to win the unit, or are you laying the unit to win less than that unit?
I love these conversations.
Me and Matt Brown used to get into this on Primetime Action. And me, again, just me, it's always more to win the unit.
So
when I'm talking about it, that's what I mean.
Right. So if you're betting a -110, you're betting $110 to win 100.
Correct.
For that. Example.
Whereas some people would say 100 to win 94, right?
Or 91. I think if you were in my era of better, growing up where basically everything started on a computer, you didn't think that way because you weren't worried about making break-even cash, right? I'm going to go to the window and I want $210 back in total. I don't have to worry about change or anything like that. It was just punching numbers into a computer and it's always going to be in my account. So I don't really care if there's you know, 27 cents in the account.
Well, when you do a show about it, it becomes a semantic thing, but just translating it to math. What's interesting is that some of your, you know, faraway skins on your computer, mm-hmm. they're formatted different. So sometimes if you put in the 100, it slots it into the to win. Sometimes it's, your stake
that's
is 100
yes.
to win 91. So again, I just mean 110 to win 100 when I talk about that. Are we sure? National Football League. Kelly asked the questions. I will do my damnedest to answer them. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM channel 158, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, as we talk all things NFL Championship Sunday, and it's betting relationships. Chris Felica from Fox Sports, of course, will join us. He's got soccer. He's got horse racing. He's got football as well. We look forward to that. But first, a real treat. The last time he was on this show, I just told him straight up, I love you, because he made my childhood great. He won the Super Bowl after the 1982 season, Super Bowl 17 with the Washington Redskins. And then the following year was both National Football League MVP and the Offensive Player of the Year. Joe Theismann joins the show courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Joe, great seeing you. Great talking to you. How are you?
I'm great, Gil. It's so good to catch up with you again. It's been a while, but boy, there's some great times happening.
There are some great times, and we will get to those. I want to ask you one historical question first before we get to modern day and, of course, this game between the Eagles and the Commanders. Yesterday on the show, I had my buddy Joe Pita on. He's a lifelong Eagles fan. I obviously am a lifelong Washington fan. We talked about our greatest games from our perspectives in the history of the Eagles, Redskins, and then Eagles Commanders, Eagles Washington football team in between history. One of my top four, and I'm curious if this has a prominent place in your mind because it's right in your wheelhouse. Joe Gibbs comes in 1981. You guys go 0-5 out of the chute. You finish that season 8-3. So it was a portent of things to come. But that 82 season starts in Philly. You're down 17. You hit Charlie Brown on a 78-yard touchdown pass, overcome that, win the game, and the rest, as they say, is history. It sort of, for me as a fan, ushered in the Gibbs era. Does it have that prominent place for you as well?
It does for me. I mean, really, and you mentioned it because it was the first game. And it was that opportunity after, you know, you work real hard and then now you get to a point where you're starting to feel like you sort of understand one another. I mean, it was a rough start for us. And then we turn around and wind up having an incredible year. And it does have significant meaning. I can see Charlie down the left side taking off with the way he ran. He had a really interesting gait.
Yes, he did.
And I can see him taking off on that long pass.
He sort of ran on the back of his heels. It was an interesting sort of gait that he had, really long
never
strides.
Never raised his feet very high. It was almost like a shuffle, nobody could catch him.
Nobody could catch him. Out of South Carolina State, by the way, for everybody scoring at home, I believe a 9th-round pick. When you did go 0-5, there was a famous meeting I assume it's true. You'll tell me if it is or isn't. It was a one-on-one, you and Coach Gibbs. Did it happen? And if so, what was the general tenor of that meeting?
It happened. We were 0-5. We just lost to the San Francisco 49ers. I had sort of gotten through the rumors and everything that Coach was either going to, they were either going to trade me or he was going to bench me. And playing quarterback was important to me. So after we lost the game, I drove to his house. And Joe slept at Redskin Park three nights a week. I mean, at the end of a game, he's exhausted. So I'm at his, I knock on the door. He had to be the most surprised person in the world when he had a chance to see me. I said, Coach, we need to talk. We sat down in his day. He says, come on in. We sat down in the den. I said, Coach, look, I get the feeling I'm in these meetings, but you're not talking to me. You're just doing installations. He said, Joe, you have restaurants, TV shows. You have all these things going on in this city. I just want a quarterback. I said, I'll do this. I'll get rid of everything if you want me to. I'll get rid of it all. But the important thing is just give me a chance, Coach. Just give me a chance and you know, let's go from there. And that's really what happened. That meeting, my job meant so much to me. And I wanted to be able to be a part of that football team. I wanted to be his quarterback. And I had to convince him because I wasn't his. You know, the new broom sweeps clean theory sort of comes in every business. And this was my opportunity to sit down and sort of clear the air. And, you know, we went on one heck of a run after that.
Yeah, specifically, the Skins won 36 of their next 42 games spanning a couple seasons there, including postseason games. So, yeah, the rest was absolutely history, including a Super Bowl title. As we mentioned, Super Bowl 17. Gibbs would go on to win two more. To the present day. You obviously, like all of us, are just the pleasure of watching Jaden Daniels in his rookie season here. I'll just ask it sort of very simply. Is he the greatest rookie quarterback you've ever seen?
I think he is. I think Ben Roethlisberger was another one who was special. But what Jaden has been able to do in the dramatic fashion that he's been able to do it, you have to look at him and just marvel. I mean, you know, you could put a list of 10 things that you're looking for in a quarterback. Somebody that can really play. Make a list of 10. He checks every box. His composure, his under fire, his ability to throw the ball down the field. We haven't had a deep thrower like this in decades in Washington.
True.
His ability to run the football, to pick up critical situations, to evaluate situations, to protect himself, the accuracy that he has. I mean, there's so many things that you love about him. His composure. When everything around him is going crazy. And look, the last 5-6 games of the season have all been nail biters. I got to tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to play the game than it is to be a fan. I have so much respect for the fans because I get so nervous and I get so crazy watching them play. The last time I had a chance to take a breath was with 3 minutes to go in the Detroit game. And that's been about the last 6 weeks. So, yeah, I think he's very special in so many ways. And you know, rookies have sometimes a difficult time processing what's in front of them. He does not. Cliff Kingsbury's done a fantastic job, our offensive coordinator, with him.
Are you like most Skins fans or Commanders fans who literally, you know, for most of the year, again, I was saying on this show, yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs. You know, at most they win one game. What a great story that will be. And now the brain has sort of toggled to, wait a minute, they're 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. Like, I'm buying in now. You're kind of like that?
Oh, absolutely. You for somebody to ask a question in the beginning of the year, say, do you think they're going to make it to the playoffs? You think, well, you know, there's so much newness. You hope so. And then you get into the playoffs and it's like, well, you got a whole bunch of guys that have never been in this situation before. Some have, but not with this team. And then you start believing. You start to see what's happening on the field. Your eyes tell you to believe. And that's exactly where we are. I believe we can beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember, this is the third time they're going to play. There's not going to be a whole lot of mystery to what people are going to want to do. Vic Fangio is going to want to come after people. And, you know, Jaden's going to have to be able to make plays. They're going to have to catch the football like they have. The great thing about this offense in particular is a lot of different people have stepped up at different times. Brian Robinson's run the ball well. Jaden's run the ball well. Ertz is making catches. Terry McLaurin's making catches. De'Ami Brown's making catches. You have guys all over the place stepping up. And it's never the same person. So how do you defend it? The Eagles on the other side, they have Saquon Barkley. I mean, let's face it, you can dissect this thing any way you want. But Saquon Barkley is the guy that makes a difference. He ran for 148 the first time these two teams played, went for 150 the last time, went for 200 last week. He is a force to reckon with. But then outside, you've got two really, really good football players in Smith and Brown. So it's, you know, I don't think that this football team goes in there wondering if they can win. I go in there, I think they go in believing they can win. And I believe they can too.
Joe, I know you're not a sports bettor first. It is a little corner of the world that we inhabit. So is it fair to say that you think being a 6-point dog is a little disrespectful, a little too much?
I felt the 9-point dog to the Detroit Lions was hugely disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 6 is somewhat disrespectful. And I always sort of, and I don't know how you guys do, but I look at 3 points as a home field. So to me, it's like 3. If you're thinking 3 is the number, then 6 is too high.
I like it. All right. What about the other game? Buffalo, Kansas City. For most who are not Washington or Philadelphia fans, that's the real marquee matchup of the weekend. Do you have an opinion on that game? Where the Chiefs are only 2-point favorites.
You ask me if I have an opinion? Yeah, I guess so.
Who am I talking to? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that never met a microphone he didn't like, right? Anyway, I do. I think this is a critical year for the Buffalo Bills and particularly Josh Allen. This is a chance to, you know, get that, put that behind you. We heard so often about Matt Ryan. Oh, he's a terrific quarterback. Can he get to the next level? Can he get it done? Then all of a sudden he went to a Super Bowl and you never heard that conversation anymore. I think Josh Allen is right there. He's right on the cusp of doing something special. Patrick's incredible. Patrick's the best quarterback in football. And he just he's the guy that can make plays when you have to. There's one thing about winning in the regular season. There's another thing about winning at this stage when you're into the playoffs. What do you do when all the chips are on the table? And I think that the Buffalo Bills are very capable of doing this. They don't have one, again, they don't have just one receiver that they count on. They've got good tight ends. I think they can keep the ball away from Kansas City's offense a little bit. Cook is a heck of a running back. I'm always curious to see what Steve Spagnuolo is going to do defensively, though. It's funny. I love watching Patrick play and Travis and all that stuff on offense and Andy calling the game. But for me, I'm going to be watching what Steve Spagnuolo wants to do to Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. Now, if they start rolling downhill and they start creating problems, you know, that's a big problem for Buffalo. But I think Buffalo can be up to the task to be able to take on the Kansas City Chiefs and win the game.
Would you have ever thought in your lifetime when you were playing, if someone walked up to you and said, you know, one day there's going to be a guy, a quarterback who gets to 7 consecutive championship games? You probably would have dismissed them summarily at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say that and immediately people would say Tom Brady, but it's Patrick Mahomes. And again, you can't separate Patrick from Andy, just like it's hard to separate Cliff from Jaden. The offensive coordinators have so much to do. Yes, he makes spectacular plays. Yes, he can, you know, get out of the pocket and create, and he has all these different angles to be able to get the ball up the field. But you look at the way Andy calls games in critical situations, they'll find Travis Kelce. You want to make a bet on this one? I don't know what the prop is for Kelce, but I'm going to guess he's probably going to be targeted at least a dozen times, probably going to wind up with 8-9 catches.
All right.
I would be shocked. Remember the Super Bowl last year? They only threw to him once and they struggled. Then they got him the ball in the second half and they won. Keep that in mind.
6.5 is actually the prop for Kelce to be accurate.
Over.
Yeah, so over for you.
Over.
Joe, always a pleasure. You have no idea. I really appreciate it, sir.
Thanks. Great catching up with you. Take care.
You too. And let's get back to RFK, for goodness sakes. Joe Theismann, everybody, at Theismann7 on Twitter. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik in studio. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Horse racing action heating up in South Florida with the $3 million Pegasus World Cup tomorrow, Saturday, January 25th, and our friends over at First Bet have got you covered with everything you need to hit big. Sign up for a new First Bet account using promo code VSiN200 to claim a $200 sign-up bonus, plus download their free Pegasus World Cup wager guide and get up to $10 back when your horse finishes second or third in the biggest races at Gulfstream Park. Head over to firstbet.com. That's 1ST. bet.com and use promo code VSIN200. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is behind the glass these days here in the second hour. Steve Fezzik standing by. Want to read some tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Stormy Bonatoni responding to Dave Ross talking about the acting sweepstakes, which Kelly does a great head nod in these commercials. Stormy says, I wish you guys could have seen the ad-libs in person. Get this man a SAG card ASAP. Talking about Dave Ross's performance in their little promo about the app. Steve the Proxy Raiders hiring Carroll to me means they know they're at least 3 years away from even competing in the AFC West. Their organization is so chaotic, they need someone to fix it and be a bridge to normalcy. They have no quarterback, aren't making the playoffs, but could shed laughingstock tag. Could shed the laughingstock tag. DP, AFC West has the best coaches in the NFL, he says, at Vegas DP. That's what? Reed, Harbaugh, Peyton, and now Carroll. This is from Mr. Postman 619. Shout out to the OGs, Mark Lawrence, and Kelly's favorite guy, Jim Feist. They said Carroll was a possibility on their Championship Week podcast. I was just as shocked as y'all are today. We knew he was out there. I just didn't think it was imminent. By the way, Jim Feist had me on a couple weeks ago. That was super nice of him. Colin Murphy. Let's go to, well, not Colin. Let's go to this one. 3Jack3131 locked in Hamlin 500-1 for Super Bowl MVP. Let's go. Good luck. Chance Copperpot. I agree with MOP here. I watched every snap of the Pete Carroll Seattle era and saw how he turned our team around. To be frank, to Pete, we had the likes of Brian. To be fair to Pete, he has his TBF. To be fair to Pete, we had the likes of Brian Schottenheimer and Daryl Bevel calling the plays. Spytek looks like a good hire as well. The Ryan Hyatt, it's time for the new folks listening to ANG with Gil Kelly on Sirius. This is the now semi-legendary final hour of the week, a.k.a. keep that dump button handy and buckle up. Fezzik and Felica and some guy named Theismann, not really sure how to handle it. And finally, Brian Schaefer. Gil, your boy Ovechkin only needs 20 goals now to beat Gretzky. I know he does. We'll get to more tweets, but Steve Fezzik is standing by right next to me. He's actually sitting by the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, the granddaddy of all Vegas's NFL handicapping contests. How you doing, sir?
I don't know if it's going to stay the granddaddy. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor have taken over the neighborhood,
well,
right?
Well, granddaddy refers to the fact that they're the oldest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the Orange Bowl's better now.
Beyond that.
Right?
That?
It's like the Rose Bowl versus the Orange Bowl, maybe? It's that Orange Bowl's pretty cool. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I should probably usher this in properly. We have a new open for Steve Fezzik, and it goes a little something like this.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Huh? Huh? I like it.
Taste the soup. Look at that. You got a new open.
Okay, we got Crack's been making fun of me for like a year. No opening for Fez, but I hate you check out my opening, Fez. It's good, isn't
it? It's good. There's tons to talk about here. Can we start with Buffalo, Kansas City? Kansas City favored by 2. You believe with the new overtime rules, there's a proper way to bet this?
Yes. If you bet Kansas City, you must play the money line, not lay the -1.5 or the -2. If you're betting Buffalo, not teasing Buffalo, you have to take the +2. Do not bet the money line. Why? Well, we're going to go back in time here. In Time Machine last year, Gilly and I were at Caesars. We're on the treadmill. Gilly doesn't like to talk when he does treadmill. I do. All right. So it's embarrassing.
And boy, does he.
It's uncomfortable. So yeah. Well, he tries to have a treadmill separation, COVID style. I try to get nestle up to him.
Like, Steve, can we have a treadmill in between us, for God's sakes?
Yes. But we were talking about, so the new overtime rules, both teams are guaranteed a possession. So what is that going to do? Well, it's going to make the number one more likely to land. And if you're laying 1.5 or -2 on Kansas City, you don't want this game to go overtime. You're in deep trouble. Now, think about this. Normally.
Okay, but explain that first of all, because what you are saying is new overtime rules, which we went over yesterday, new postseason overtime rules, if you remember from the Super Bowl, it's not sudden death from the beginning. Both teams get their fair ups, if you will, for baseball term. If they have the same amount of points after the first possession for each team, then it goes to sudden death at that point. I assume what you're talking about is you believe the scenario exists for a team to get 7 and then for the subsequent team to go for 2?
Exactly right. So if whoever gets the ball first in overtime, should they score a touchdown? Let's assume it's Kansas City gets a touchdown. Boom, they're up 7. Buffalo now still gets a possession because that's what the rules are. They've got 4 downs, and as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow, when Buffalo scores that touchdown and they're down 1, their analytics team will have figured it out, and they're going to go for 2. So this game is going to land 1. It's basically pretty straightforward math. You can't kick the extra point because now you go to sudden death, and whoever's got the ball in sudden death has an enormous edge. You can't allow that. You got to go for 2.
Got to go for 2. And remember in last year's Super Bowl, the Niners kicked a field goal on 4th and 4 at the 9. Kansas City came back, matriculated the ball down the field, and the rest is history. They win in overtime. Okay, let's talk about just the games in general. Are you betting these in standard sports books? Are you betting them on exchanges? What are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. So I bet your Washington team +6 at open. I'm like, that's wrong. Hurts is banged up. A.J. Brown's not 100%. That just can't be right. And to my horror, well, at first the line came back down to 5 and 4.5. And now it's wheeled back up to 6. And the like early in the week, I bet at sportsbook, best number I can find. Late in the week, I am a huge proponent. These standalone games, these exchanges are so good. Sport Trade, Profit, other betting exchanges. Why? Because I can't beat -110 against the closing number. I can't hit 52.5% against the closing number. But you know what? I don't need to. If I can hit, this is crazy, but it's true. If I can hit 50.5%, I will win on games like this. Why do I say that? Because you look at that Kansas City-Buffalo game. I just saw on a betting exchange, Kansas City's 1.5-point favorite. You can lay -101. Or you can take Buffalo +1.5 and lay -101. So you can see, hey, if I can hit 50.5%, I win then, sans commissions.
Profit X, Sport Trade, that's what we're talking about there. You did play a prop in the Washington game.
Yeah, I'm going back to the well. My man.
You love him.
Diami Brown. What can Brown do for you? So here's a dude that was basically on the scrap heap the first half of the year. In the second Eagles game, week 16, he got like 56 yards. But he has been a playoff stud. He's got 98 and 89 yards. The last two playoff games, and I'm a huge believer, rookie quarterback, no reason to change it, right? Scary Terry's still going to get all the attention. So Diami has emerged as the number two for the Washington football team. I'm going to go to the well one more time. Paying attacks, over 43.5 receiving yards.
Diami Brown, over 43.5 receiving yards right there from Fez. We got into a little hedging discussion earlier on the show. You wanted to chime in.
Yeah, so I went ahead, new book that's out, Dan Abrams. But how much did you lose? And he
discusses,
terrible title. Always play back. Always play back is what the title should be.
I see. The alternative title should be that.
Alternative title should be always play back. Now, this is really fascinating because we talk about like, and no one wants to step on anyone's toes. Fezzik Twitter doesn't have a problem with this, all right?
Fezzik Twitter,
unfortunately, yes. The Voldemort of the betting world. As it turns out, if you believe in the math, and trust me, this guy's an electrical engineer. And
Dan
he knows,
has done the math.
Dan has done the math. Yeah. This is counterintuitive. If you have the world's greatest futures bet, and it's going to pay like $10,000, and then you could hedge like at an exchange, a 50-50 bet back the other way. How much should you hedge? It turns out it's a slam dunk with the math. If you risk $1 to win 100, and these are big amounts, so it's like $10,000 to win $1 million, you should hedge it all. You should dump it all. If you can get not even a positive expectation bet.
A 50-50 hedge.
If you can just get a hedge bet that is not negative, you should hedge it all. And here's where the counterintuitive stuff is. If it's even a slightly negative bet, you should still make a substantial hedge. And that blows the minds.
I was going to say, even as you
people.
Say that, I'm sure there are people listening who are like, I don't agree with that.
They're wrong because they go argue with all these math geeks from the University of Chicago and Princeton because bankroll growth, it's all about bankroll growth. If you're an advantage player, you cannot risk losing an addition to your bankroll because now you can bet all kinds of great stuff.
I understand that, but there's going to be someone out there who's saying, maybe that's me. There's going to be someone out there who's saying, yeah, but like, I'm giving away so much equity for no reason on that particular bet.
Let me disprove this. I'll give you a 50-50 chance to win $1 billion, or you can have $100 million. Which do you take?
Okay.
Almost any rational, smart math person would take the $100 million. You know, it's a horrific decision.
Well,
it's like I'm giving up.
Again, depends on your standpoint in life.
Elon Musk, he addresses that very issue. That the point is, you're willing to accept some negative EV to lock in a chance to substantially grow your bankroll.
Steve Fezzik talking about Dan Abrams' book, But How Much Did You Lose? Available where all books are sold. More with Fezzik on the other side. Championship week in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.